I don't. Most of you probably know that Wendy has given up her position as secretary here of the church, and it has been 20 years. She has done it for 20 years. And we want to thank her for all the time and energy and that you've put into it. We appreciate you. And this is for you. This is not for Bill. This is for you. Praise the Lord. Well, we welcome our, we do have a phone church, right? But our live stream is not working or today because Mike's not here, not feeling well. So we won't have live stream, but we do have the phone church. Hallelujah. Yes, Lisa. Oh, yeah, by the way, Lisa is our secretary now. Yeah, so, well, praise the Lord. We do thank Wendy for serving, and also we thank Lisa for taking over. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, or against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your help. Lord, there's many that are not feeling well, and we just pray, Lord God, that you would just intervene and minister healing to them. Help them, Lord God, we pray. Touch them, Lord, we ask. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for how you bless and touch. Lord, we just give you all the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, it's that time of the year again that maybe we need to hold down our handshake and our hugs and everything so that, you know, we don't spread the spread. Mark chapter 6 and verse 48 is a very, very interesting verse. And we're going to look at it today. I want us to look at the tough, hard way. The tough, hard way. We always like that, right? We always like the tough, hard way. Not the easy way, right? We like the tough, hard way. Other known as, I want to look at nature's rage, its violence, but God's faithfulness. Here, Jesus saw that they were distressed, that they were straining at the oars, for the winds were against them. It was somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. And here we see that He came towards them, walking on the waters of the lake. Very easy, nice, right? The text, though, suggests that there was a struggle. Everyone in town is going to experience it. Struggles. All of us, I believe, need the kind of help that these fishermen received that day on that lake between 3 and 6 in the morning. You see, the event takes place immediately, right after the feeding of the 5,000. Right after that, this is what happens. And the crowds were ready to attempt an uprising, rebellion, and proclaim that Jesus is king at this time. You know, he just performed a miracle of feeding the 5,000. Now this comes about. And they were about to attempt an uprising and say that Jesus is king. I want you to keep in mind, the disciples were emerged in this popularity at this time. They were emerged in it. But his hour was not yet come, the scripture tells us, either for reigning or for suffering death. So Jesus here, he discarded the embarrassing question very gratefully and also very quickly. And he hurried the disciples into their boat. And he urged them to go out upon the lake and for their homeward journey while he remained to disperse the multitude. Wow. These were not, of course, disloyal, or they were not unfaithful men at all. They were reluctant or not wanting to go. In verse 45, it says, as soon as it was over, he made his disciples to get on the boat. Wow. I believe that I'm sure that they wanted him to come along. I'm sure of that. But he didn't. They could never forget the salvation that he did for them. What would they have done had he not been in the boat on the previous occasion? Back in chapter 4. They embarked at twilight, and the dramatic part of this story took place 8 or 9 hours later. Never for one moment lose sight of the part that Jesus played in this account from the beginning to the end. Don't lose sight of it. Even while following the disciples in their struggle with the sea, also remember that these men at this time were not out of the will of God at all. Not out. But they were in trouble. And only about halfway across the lake. I want us to look at some truths that are taught here in Mark chapter 6. Number one is this. Outward circumstances change constantly, regardless of inward religious experience that we have. The day had been a great camp meeting day for the disciples at this time in Mark chapter 6. In the morning, they had returned from their extensive preaching poor, where the devils had been subject to them. And all of a sudden the crowds had gathered. And the public was seeking the preachers instead of the preachers seeking the public. And in the afternoon they had seen the miracle of the Lord's provision. Church, remember, nothing like this has ever happened in Israel since the manna had been given by Moses. Nothing. And the excitement had, and the enthusiasm was overwhelming to them. Feelings were intense. Passion was kindled. The crowd and the workers were ready for anything. But within the same 24 hours, the scene changes. In 24 hours. Wow. Darkness chills their souls and their bodies. There's nothing but idleless work effort being done. 24 hours later. Comfortless. Wet to the skin, cut to the bone by raw wind. It's a picture that we can look at and say, there's a picture of fatigue, disgust, and murmuring. And it all happened within 24 hours. Number two, it's evident that many desirous souls dwell in weary bodies. What sticks out in this text, in this line? Think about it. In verse 48 of chapter 6, what sticks out? I believe it is this. In verse 48, he saw them toiling in rowing. He saw them. He saw them. He saw them. They were having a great difficulty. They couldn't make much headway. But think about this. These are fishermen, and rowing is their business. It's one thing that they knew thoroughly, intensely. They knew it. It had become a gloomy, dejected task to them that very night. Rowing. Church, let me tell you something. We all have had days that we felt disheartened. We have. The struggle to reach the other side seems endless. It does. And we marvel and we seem like we're amazed while we ever undertook it even in the first place. Why did we do it? And the midnight of ordinary rowing appears more gloomy and more unwelcome. Just because the previous noon was so abundantly blessed with graces and also results. I believe that we marvel how we can be so worn out, so dull feeling, when not long ago we were excited and we were energized and we were motivated. Why? Because I believe that every one of us here today and listening by phone, I believe it's this. I believe we all face something called moods. They change constantly. like the appearance of the sun and the moon. Constantly they change. And you and I, we cannot escape natural reactions. Number three, regardless of feelings, there are duties to perform. Regardless. You see, the pleasure in rowing had long since vanished for these men. They kept at it because there was no other choice they had. So they kept at it. They didn't have any other choice. And the evangelist John adds a further detail to the account here in Mark. In John chapter 6 and verse 17, this is what the evangelist says. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not yet come to them. It was dark. They couldn't pull out their phones and use the light. They didn't have no flashlights with 5,000 lumens. They didn't have that. I believe the implication here is they knew that he was sure to come before long. That's the implication, I believe, that's here. They knew he was going to come. But the question that they had is the same question that we would probably have, and that is, but when? And it seemed to them that it was long overdue. They had nothing but his word. They had set out at his command. And it was up to them to do their best until he came. Wow. And sometimes that's hard. We all experience this. Because when things seem to be going so well, do you know what usually happens? We run into a storm. When things just seem like, man, they're going great, we run into the storm. And one moment we seem to be sailing along, the next moment we are struggling. Wow. In the morning we are warm with excitement. By evening we are chilled with discouragement. We all have been in the services that break open with God's blessing. We've been there, right? The altar has been filled with seekers. The tide of blessing looks like a revival. And the time the next service comes is a struggle. Why? Nothing is easy. The attendance is disappointed. The song service lacks luster. The preaching doesn't even seem to move you. The altar is barren. And you wonder, what has happened in such a short time from one service to the next? But let me tell you something. This does not release us from our duty. It does not. We must carry on. The president of our college at Southeastern, when I went there, he preached a sermon, plod on, plod on, plod on. Carry on. It's the only thing, church, that we can do. Is carry on. There are responsibilities that we can't escape. The picture is in our text here. We must toil on in our rowing and must keep an alert lookout for Jesus, who may be on His way towards us at any moment of the night. And this is a lesson that I had to learn and relearn, and maybe you do too. You can't up and quit just because there are times when everything seems to be a struggle. Number four, Jesus Christ, even in darkness, knows who has need of Him. You're always in His view. Always. Church, I want you to believe that. You're always in His view. Mark says, He saw them toiling. The rowing got the best of them. And all of a sudden, these men had no real reason to become depressed. But they did. On the other side, I believe our Lord was on His knees praying for them and even for others. And you can count on that. My faithful high priest is in command. He's in charge. Hallelujah. Yes. In His good time, He will begin the unsurpassed walk upon the waters, which made that rugged, rough night historic in the years to come. I believe it comes down to this. Trust Him. Trust Him. Go ahead. You can trust Him. His affections for you do not change with your moods. You will not always feel victorious. Now that's edifying, ain't it? Man, you came to church just for that. You will not always feel victorious. You will not always feel triumph. Sometimes you may not even feel saved. You will not always ride the crest of enthusiasm. But what counts is Jesus Christ. That's what counts. Our circumstances disturb or they shake only ourselves. They do not turn. They do not shake the kingdom of God upside down. They don't. They may capsize our pride and change our advertising, our witnessing, but they do not change our Savior's attitude. Wow. And intend it towards us at all times. He's on His way. If it be dark, church, and He has not yet arrived, we may be certain it is maybe because He pursues among the trees to pray. He may. But we are to keep working. And according to the Scripture, we are to continue to watch. He knows the moment we are best ready to receive Him. That was it here in the Scripture of our text. The sea of our embarrassment is no obstacle to Him. That sea, that wind, that storm was no obstacle to Christ. Not at all. He has us in view all the time. And you will allow fear and fatigue to tear you to pieces unless you learn that lesson, that He has us in His view. You will suffer needless accusation. You will second guess yourself endlessly. How many ever have that problem, second guessing? Should I or should I not? Should I, what should I do? We have that. You will fume, you will rage, and you even get mad. You will demand that God do something for you in a hurry. Trust Him. Trust Him. And one man said this, you are not always casting out devils. Sometimes you are riding out the storm. Wow. Not always on a high, but always know that He's there and He is in the storm with you. He was in the fiery furnace, wasn't He? Number five. Christ sometimes delays His coming to believers until He is sure of a welcome. Sometimes He delays. Our absolute need of the Lord must become plain to us. We need Him. We have to have Him. We have to. It's almost a constant lesson. In John 15:5, it says it all. Without Me, ye can do nothing. That's Jesus. We try hard, we work at it, we toil and rowing. Have you noticed that this detail in the story, and it's in verse 48, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. He saw them. Look at the last part of verse 48. Very interesting. The last part of verse 48 says this, and would have passed by them. What? Here Jesus is seeing these men out there struggling. And He's coming walking on the water. But He says, and would have passed by them. Why? Why would He do that? Why did He do that? It must have seemed very heartbreaking to these fishermen out there in the storm to just for Jesus to pass by. He did it only to exercise the longing love which He knew they felt for Him, and so to get their earnest invitation to come into the vessel. He was going to go by them. You ever get to the point in life of any type of struggle and you really get earnest with God and you say, wait a minute, Jesus, don't pass by. Can you hear these fishermen? Jesus, no, 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 no. We need You here. We need You over here in the boat. Don't pass us by. But at that very moment, He knew they were sincere. Jesus will enter your life and help you meet your problem when it becomes crystal clear that you want Him, and that you must have His help. When we are sincere, and these here fishermen were, I believe this also occurred again at Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, 28, it says this. He made as though he would have gone further. You get the same truth even back in the Old Testament. When the angel wrestled with Jacob and demanded, "Let me go." And Jacob clinged more and more closely and boldly. And he replied this, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Wow. Jesus, don't go by us. Please bless us. In closing, sometimes things happen in your life in which you have no control of. But in the middle of nature's rage and nature's violence, Jesus is faithful. You may not be able to control the situation, but you can control your attitude and your reaction. It may not be your fault that you are in the mess that you are in, but it will be your faith that gets you out. And the storms of life, they have blown you off course. But right now, Jesus is walking towards you. The Lord is asking us, I believe, this question. How much do you really need me in your life? How much? You can't play with God. God knows how sincere you are. He won't enter your boat until he tests your heart, your attitude. And I ask you this, to believe that there is a promise for you. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Starting with verse 1, here's the promise. "But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for you." Wow. Wow. You can believe that, church. Troubled soul today, you can believe it. God is for you. And I believe that the story ends with this great line. "Then they willingly received him into the boat." And immediately, the ship was at the land whither they went. Where they were to go, it was there. And I asked you these. Will you receive him? That's all it takes. Shall we bow our heads? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your help. We thank you for being with us. We thank you, Lord God, that, oh, even though there may be many times it seemed like you bypassed us, Lord, we know that you were there, waiting for us. Lord, there may be some here that might say, when they pray, it seems like the heavens are brass. Father, I pray your touch and your help for them. Maybe you're in the storm at this time and you say, I need him more than ever before. the storm that you have no control except for your attitude. The storm that seems to rage every time you get up in the morning and all through the day. I ask you, if you have been there, if you're there at this very moment, and you need His touch, you need His help, you need Him to come walking on the water at this very moment, I want to pray for you, and I want to, if you're that person, and by phone, if you're that person, I want you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we come to you at this time. And Lord, these ones, they may feel like they're in that boat. And they need you to come walking on the water. They feel that they have toiled all night. All night. Lord God, I pray right now that you would so move and minister. Lord, as you saw these fishermen, you see exactly the hardship and the situations that these ones have raised their hands. You see it. And Lord, they need an answer. They need you, Lord, to get into their boat. And Father, I pray right now that you would touch. Lord, we're believing for miracles. We're believing for a touch. We're believing, Lord God, that you would so move and minister right now at this very moment. Lord God, let it be, we pray. Touch them, we ask, and we pray. And we will thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'll bless these people. I pray that you'll touch them. I pray that you'll minister to them. I pray that, Lord God, you'll give them a great week. And Lord God, I thank you that you see every one of us where we are at. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.